If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and also keep a finger there and turn to Hebrews 13 as we continue to go through our reasoning and explanation of the constitutional changes. Last week we looked at the statement of faith, and I encourage you to ask questions about what some of it means, and for us as a church, and even searching the scriptures to see if that is indeed what the scriptures teach. For one of the pieces of membership is that we affirm those things as a church body together, and so they need to be understood. And so as you're turning to Acts 20, if you join with me in a spirit of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would give us wisdom. Lord, that you would unpack your word and unpack the work that has been done to really bring us together as a church under membership, Lord. And we just ask that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, if there be any error in this or in me, Lord, that it would fall to the ground and that you would give us discerning hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so last week we did a quick-ish crash course through the proposed changes to our statement of faith. And again, the elders invite questions, and please reach out with these questions, especially if you don't want to ask them publicly at the special business meeting, but want answers in the meantime or explanations. Feel free to reach out to any one of us, and we are happy to engage in answering those questions. And so we move on to the proposed changes to our Article 3 on membership, and you'll see these out back. The changes and everything, and what you'll notice is the crossed out, struck out parts are the old wording, and it's going to be replaced by the underlined wording. And so we're not just adding to, we are replacing quite a bit, but you'll see we've also brought in some of the old language. And so I've actually been praying and wrestling about these changes since 2011, 2012. I even in 2013, and I'm sure you all remember this in detail, a four-sermon series on membership. Setting the groundwork of these changes. But in working with the elders at that time and seeing where our church was, it didn't seem like the right time to push it or really make these changes happen. But much has changed over the last 6 years, and I believe the elders in our church are at a place where these changes are good, beneficial, and necessary. And so one of the things you'll notice when it comes to church membership is there's no chapter and verse that we can point to that says someone must sit through membership classes or a membership meeting and become an official member of a church. But that doesn't mean that the idea of church membership is not biblical. The fact that the early church, if you go to, I believe it's 2 Timothy, has a list of widows and expectations of what defines a widow to receive financial help from the church means that they had an understanding of who people were and their relationship to the church and where they fit. And the fact that elders were called to shepherd the flock. And there was most certainly a way for churches to know who was part of their fellowship and who was not. Because being part of a church family is more than something we do on a Sunday morning or a place we go to have our felt needs being met. Yes, we do meet needs as a church family, but that is because we are called to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And so church membership is important because it delineates those who have covenanted together to submit to elders and the discipleship of one another. And what we will see shortly in some of these changes is that a major addition to our expectations of membership are an elder covenant and a church member covenant. And these are presented based on Scripture's teaching to emphasize that we are not just joining a club, an organization. A big thing when I was in seminary, I worked on in the pro shop of Myopia Hunt Club, which was a very expensive, old New England money private club. They even had foxhounds, and that is actually one of New England's oldest polo grounds. And so they would play polo on Sunday afternoons, and they would also have foxhounds, and people would go and actually go onto the seminary campus, and they would do fox hunts. Now, not real foxes. They would spray somewhere some fox scent, and they would go running for it on occasion. And I actually offered if they wanted to spray me with the fox scent, and I would just run around and see if they could catch me, but they said no. But the church is not a club. It's not a gym where we go and we pay our dues. You know, tithes and offerings are not like our members' dues, where we pay and then, you know, we're good to go for another week, month, or year. And so the idea of covenanting together is to grow together. And when I interact with other believers, I can often see the importance of prayer. You know, when I covenant with each other and when I talk to other Christians, how many of us have met a Christian and we're like, wow, I wish I prayed as much as this person because I see the fruit that it has in their life. I wish I knew the scriptures as well as this person because of, you know, how it's changed their life. And that is what it means to be together and to help each other grow and to be lovingly confronted by brothers and sisters who are in the faith, in the trenches of faith with me, where there's a safe place to confess and repent and hold one another accountable. But if the church is just an activity that is maybe part of my week, or just a place to attend without making a commitment, then when the rubber hits the road with my growth and holiness, it'll be up to chance. It'll be up to however I'm feeling that day rather than being confronted regularly with the Spirit and my brothers and sisters. And so Scripture calls elders in the church to lead the shepherd, lead the flock. And in Acts 20, verses 29 and 30, Paul exhorts elders to be on the lookout for wolves or false teachers. And he says this, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." And church membership is a way, a strong way, to understand and to weed out, understand where people are in their faith, and to know and know wolves and how to deal with wolves in the church, if there are any. But not only this, the church is also called to submit to the leaders God has placed over them. And remember, submission does not mean to have uncontrolled power, but submission means to defer to their authority. That doesn't mean that the elders are never wrong or can't be held accountable. And actually, Paul says in Timothy that if an elder sins, they must be held accountable publicly. That they must be held accountable publicly. So there is accountability for elders, and that is where the church family comes in. And so as God says in Hebrews 13 and 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account." Elders are going to give an account to the Lord for how they shepherded the flock. "That is what I will stand before God and be held accountable. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And so elders don't keep watch and lead without accountability. Elders are and will be held accountable by God himself in how they shepherded the flock of God given to them. If there's no biblical requirement to belong to a church, then which leaders should an individual Christian and obey and submit to? If you don't belong to a church, if you don't covenant with a church, who's your elders? Are you accountable to Pastor Small over at Faith EV Free? Are you accountable to Pastor Craig over at Centerpoint? Are you accountable to Pastor Getchell, Pastor Brown over at Getchell Street Baptist? And a lot of us would say, no, I go to Blessed Hope, but have you come under the authority? I don't just show up to Planet Fitness. I mean, sometimes we treat our secular commitments more seriously than we do our church commitments. I don't show up to Planet Fitness and start using their things. No, they're going to ask, do you have a membership? I don't just show up to a job and say, hey, I want a paycheck. They're going to say, are you even an employee here? No, membership is where we come together, where the elders and the deacons and the church body come together and say, yes, we have a common faith. We have a common goal. We see the impact of our lives as Christians together. Because at the end of the day, when God says, I'm going to hold you elders accountable for how you've shepherded the flock, well, who am I going to be accountable for? Just the person that comes and shows up and says, hey, I'm one of you. Well, are you? Like, are you even a Christian? I don't know that I'm just meeting you. We need to chat. We need to talk together. We need to get to know one another. And so, am I accountable for the non-Christian who attends on Sunday morning, or am I accountable for the individual who attends regularly, but by regular, I mean Christmas and Easter? It's 'cause that's regular. There must be a way for elders in the church to recognize and affirm who they're responsible for. And the scriptures clearly command an elder body to care for specific people, as 1 Peter 5 says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders, to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Elders are accountable for those who are under their care, and therefore we thought it is good and necessary in our membership changes to say, what are the elders accountable for? What's their expectation? What can you expect? And will we fulfill those perfectly? No, just like we won't fulfill the membership covenant perfectly, but it is a goal for us to achieve and desire. And so who should join a church and be under the care of the elders? The simplest answer is a Christian. Because the what's outlined in our suggestions are what it looks like to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, and when asked, who is Jesus, can you say the Son of the living God and know what those words mean? If so, you can be an official member of the church. The goal is to, again, make sure wolves don't sneak through the gate to feast upon the sheep. And there's a longer answer as well, but we assume that Christians have done a few things in obedience to Christ. As you'll see, the first half of the proposed changes, we assume that someone can explain the gospel, because one becomes a Christian by believing the gospel. Because oftentimes I'll ask Christians, and I'll be like, what's the gospel? And this is what I receive. A lot of silence. Well, then what are you believing? What brings you here? What is it? It's the gospel that Jesus Christ came, gave his life so that we might be forgiven and live as his people. And so, we believe that one believes and knows the gospel, and we assume a Christian is baptized because that's the first step of obedience to Jesus Christ. Peter, in his first sermon to the multitudes, you know, preaches a sermon and they're cut to the heart and they say, what must we do to be saved? And it says, believe on the Lord, repent, and be baptized. And so we assume that Christians are baptized. We also believe that Christians need to believe the Scriptures and what it teaches. And so we have, as we talked about last week, a statement of faith that teaches what we believe and what we expect members to affirm, specifically in the first section, and not to make issues of our distinctives. Unless we assume a Christian desires to live rightly before God and with his or her brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we will be asking members and potential members to affirm a member covenant, which briefly explains how we live together in fellowship and community. And yes, church membership can be uncomfortable for very Western American individualistic mindsets. Who are you to tell me? But it is also a beautiful picture established by Christ to show humility and mutual care for fellow believers, even ones that you might not like all that much. Church membership and submission of our discipleship and growth to our fellow believers surrounds not ourselves and our personalities, but around Christ. It's a beautiful picture of Philippians 1, 27 to chapter 2, verse 4. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So if there is any encouragement in Christ and any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy of being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility. This is key. Verse 3, take this seriously. Because I think we wrestle with this, and I don't think we realize we do. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. There's a lot of that missing today in our country and in our church. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's not about you. Politics, that's about you. Church is not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and what he is doing in and through you and for you and in the world. By publicly joining, we are telling our brothers and sisters and even a watching world that we are here for you and you are here for me. It's also telling the world around you that we are committed to our Savior and that the kingdom he is building is happening through us. We also submit to one another by physically gathering in worship, instruction, and encouragement. And so when we gather together, we are allowing other believers into our lives and being vulnerable and inviting them to speak into our lives even if it's hard. Do we make life choices that show we live in biblical community? Or is this a hobby? Something that I need to do some time? Just as showing up with someone and saying we are married does not a marriage make, just showing up does not make a member make. There is a discussion. A marriage is witnessed covenant between a man and a woman and God. Membership involves covenanting with one another for each other's mutual growth and joy in the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't, you know, describe these massive, weddings and all these things, but it does witness that two people agree to be married in the faith, in the accountability to the Lord. So whether you're married in a church or a courthouse, God knows what you're committing to. And so does membership mean we don't want new people or non-believers? No, we encourage people to involve their unbelieving friends into the life of community because this is where people see how Christians love one another, even in its imperfections. And they see where the gospel is adorned as we confess, we repent, we forgive, we wrestle with personalities. You know, I often find that we're more willing to endure difficult personalities outside the church than we are for those who we worship together with. And they are, therefore, we are encouraged to come and see the family of God at work, even in its warts. And so we need to understand that 1 John 2:19 happens. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, then it might become plain that they are not of us. And so next week we're going to get to this, but we practice a formal church membership with covenant and classes so that people understand what the church is, who Blessed Hope is, what the gospel is, what it means to submit our discipleship to one another, explain the intricacies of our doctrine as a local church, part of a denomination, and to be sure we are who we say we are. And this isn't because we don't like people, but Jesus Christ is precious. And we take our faith in him seriously, and the elders take it seriously that they are to shepherd and protect the flock. And so does not becoming an official member mean you are not part of Blessed Hope Church or welcome to be part of the church or serve? No. However, not becoming a member may mean there are some limitations in how or where someone might serve, and there are some limitations to some of the benefits that come with church membership. And so I just want to relatively quickly go through some of the changes. I'm not going to read the old changes. I'm just going to focus on the new changes, the new wording. And so we say right off the bat, to qualify for membership in this church, a person must be a believer in Jesus Christ who gives evidence of regeneration. What does regeneration mean? Do you show a changed life? Or do you show that you are growing towards the Lord? Who has been baptized in obedience to Christ and who wholeheartedly believes in the Christian faith as revealed in the Bible. Believers' baptism by immersion may be waived only after review and consideration of the elders. We believe in baptism, believers' baptism. That's why we don't baptize babies. We believe that you must be able to confess with your mouth, with your heart, with your life, and understanding before you are to be baptized. Just like Peter said, repent and be baptized. It's really difficult for Asher to repent right now because he doesn't know what he's doing half the time. And even when he was just fresh out of the womb, man, that kid, he's so super cute though. Each member must promise to keep the commitments expressed in the church covenant, and the elders shall be responsible for determining each person's qualification for membership. And so, church covenants, as a summary of principles for Christian conduct for its members and its elders, this church adopts the following church covenants. The elder covenant. This is what the elders, when you become an elder, the elders are agreeing to this. Having been called by Jesus Christ to shepherd the flock among us under the grace, help, and instruction of God's word and through prayer, we, the elders of Blessed Hope Advent Christian Church, solemnly and joyfully covenant with Blessed Hope Advent Christian Church membership by God's grace and with his help, one, to appoint elders and nominate deacons according to the criteria assigned to them in the scriptures, to spend time in prayer and scriptures seeking God's will for our church body and seeking his help in stewarding the resources of the church to the best of our ability while following the Spirit, to care for the church and seek her growth in grace, truth, unity, and love with a willing heart, to know the scriptures and be able to provide teaching and counsel from the whole of scripture, to equip the members of the church for the work of the ministry, to be vigilant and on guard against false teachers and teachings, to lovingly come alongside each member, and when necessary, exercise discipline for God's glory, to the good of the one disciplined and the health of the church as a whole, and to be and set an example and join members in fulfilling the obligations of church membership stated below. And then the member covenant. And this is what we are covenanting together. Okay? This is our promise to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We, the members of Blessed Hope Advent Christian Church, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ, by God's grace and with His help. We mutually agree and covenant together reverently to regard the Bible as our only rule of faith and order. That one, I think, just needs a little comment, that we get all of our teaching from Scripture. We don't have Presbyterians have the Westminster Catechism. Baptists have the Baptist Faith and Message. All these things where they get their official church doctrine. We base our official church, not that those aren't based on Scripture, that's not my comment, but we don't have like a tradition necessarily. We live and we make our decisions based on the Scriptures as our rule of faith and order. We mutually agree and covenant together to be zealous co-laborers for the cause of Christ and for the promotion of every interest of the church, also to walk together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bonds of Christian love and discipleship, bearing one another's burdens and humbly receiving one another's counsel, correction, and discipline in accordance with biblical instruction. So we're accountable to each other. We love each other even in the hard moments. We mutually agree and covenant together to support by our presence and by our means, as far as circumstances will allow, the public services of Christian worship in accordance with scriptural requirements as to aid the cause of missions home and foreign. And so we agree to be here with each other. We agree to support one another. Those two are, we support each other when it's difficult. You got a beef with each other, you go to each other. You don't just spread it around in your Bible studies and prayer requests. You go to each other and you talk it out. And then we mutually agree to be present here on Sunday mornings and in Bible studies and to use what God has blessed with us to further the cause of Christ through the church, whether it's our time, our talents. And notice it says, as circumstances will allow, there are times, sicknesses and different things that might keep us away. And so this isn't like you miss one Sunday, you're out. No, it's really about a willing heart and a desire to be with brothers and sisters regularly, and more than just Christmas and Easter. We mutually agree and covenant together to study diligently the word of the Lord and to observe faithfully His day, also to be found often in prayer and in the use of other means of grace, that we may grow thereby until we come into a perfect man in unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of grace of Christ. And so a means of grace is those things God has given us to help us grow in His Spirit, in His Word. It's a grace that He's given it to us. So prayer is a means of grace. We grow through prayer. His Word and reading and studying it is a means of grace. The Lord's Supper, communion, is a means of grace as we are reminded and we grow in who God is. Fellowship with one another and accountability is a means of grace as we grow with one another. We mutually, number six, we mutually agree to train those under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to abstain from forms of worldliness which hinder our own spirituality and bring reproach on the cause of Christ. Because remember, when we sin, we're not just representing ourselves, we are ambassadors of the kingdom. And so we both represent His church globally and locally, but also Himself. And to endeavor in purity of heart, newness of life, and goodwill toward all men, to exemplify and commend our Christian faith, and to win souls for Christ. Because we're not just in this for us, we also want to see His kingdom grow, and people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we mutually agree to submit to the elders and other appointed leaders of the church who have been given to the church as a gift in fulfilling their obligations to God and this church. And they will be and will be held accountable by God. And so being mindful of our weaknesses, our weakness and insufficiency, and that of ourselves, we can do nothing we would humbly implore God's help and guidance at all times in our earnest endeavor to uphold this covenant. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You might feel a little overwhelmed by that, but don't be. Pray and ask for the Lord's help to love one another, be there for one another. If we're doing that, this stuff's going to happen. It's when we get selfish with our time and our lives that this stuff is difficult. And you know what? I'm your pastor. I agree to this. Hold me to this. It's not like the elders are standing up here, we expect this from you. No, we expect more because we've got that elder covenant too that we're going to bridle ourselves with. But it's all from Scripture, a desire to have meaningful membership, not just come in, go out. No, we need to be here for each other. And so when we were looking at the old membership, all we really said in the old membership was, as long as you show up on Sundays and or give us your money, you're good. We think membership's more than that. And besides, I don't know how much or who's really giving. I don't pay attention to that. And so we covenant together. We wanted to make, when someone comes in and says, what does it mean to be a member of Blessed Hope Church? There's our covenant. We are going to do this together. We're not going to point fingers and say, well, I'm not going to do it if they're not doing it. That's junior high. But I'm going to take it upon myself to try my best with the Lord's help to love my brother and sister in Christ. And so, kind of simply, how do you get in? Well, persons desiring to unite with this church shall make their request known to the pastor or pastors. Right now, there's only one of me. You're welcome. Or the elders, and such individuals shall receive instruction from the pastor or other designated person or persons in preparation for membership. And so that could be anywhere from meeting over coffee or in my office talking about church membership, or, you know, if there's a lot of people all at once, we'll hold membership classes. To be admitted into church membership, applicants shall be voted upon by the elders for admission to the church membership. Upon affirmative vote by the elders, the new members shall relinquish their membership in other churches. The pastor or one of the elders shall extend the right hand of fellowship, preferably in a worship service. And you'll wonder, well, why do we expect relinquishment of membership in other churches? And that's because church membership, and I'm going to get into this a little bit next month, but church membership isn't sentimentality. Oh, I grew up in that church. Oh, I was a member there for 50 years. Oh, I just want to hold it there. No, because we're here to be involved in each other's lives and to see each other grow. If you move to Timbuktu, we can't shepherd one another faithfully. So if you move to Timbuktu, find a church in Timbuktu and join that church. Serve that church. Love that church. It's difficult to be, we can't be all places all at the same time, so how can we be a member that we never attend? And so that's kind of what we say, is when you become a member, we're not going to do this dualistic thing as well. And next week we will get into the second half and the details and talk about discipline in the church, which is not meant to punish, but to restore community and love one another. Because part of the we mutually agree to hold one another accountable, to say, hey, listen, you kind of got really angry that day. What's going on in your life? You know, I notice you've been super, super sad and depressed. You're kind of beaten up on yourself and in your language. What's going on? I saw something, and I just wanted to come and say, what's going on in your life? You know, that type of stuff. And that's hard. That's not easy. It's not like this is all of a sudden going to go easy. But it's the desire. It's our goal as a church family, and we wanted to make that clear. And so I encourage you, as we approach the last Sunday of March, to ask questions about it. Why did we put that in there? Why not? And, you know, does the scriptures really say this? Is that what it really means? Yes, please ask the elders about what this means. And you know, if these are adopted and you don't feel like you can align yourself with them, we understand. We understand. And we welcome you to attend. This is what we really believe the Lord has put on our hearts for our church, so that we know how to love one another and know what the expectations are as we pursue Christ together. It's not about individualism. It's about doing this together. And so, Father, that was a bit of a crash course. And so we just ask that you would help us to be united with you through our heart and our spirit, and to show that in our uniting with people of like mind that are just trying to serve you, to love you with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so, Lord, guide us in these endeavors, and may you be honored and glorified. Lord, and again, if there be error in this, may it be weeded out. Lord, give us wisdom as a church as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.